This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 165, sponsored by Discount Comic Book Service and Netflix.
I bombed Korea every night. My engine sank into the salty sky. I didn't know if I would live or die. I bombed Korea every night.
Hello and welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast. This is episode 165, the first episode of 2009. Let's have a good one. All right, I am Josh, and I'm here with Connor.
Hello.
And Ron is busy this week. Who knows? He doesn't tell us anything, so we don't know what he's off doing. Sitting in this week is iFanboy staff writer Jim Ruchkowski.
How's it going, everybody? I have it on good authority that Ron is going to post bail today.
Oh.
So he'll probably be back next week. In the meantime, you're stuck with me.
I stopped taking those calls, so that's why.
Yeah.
That means our plan didn't work.
I'm new.
Hello? What? Oh, I guess. Really? Oh, all right, hang on. I don't know what to tell him.
What are we, Josh?
iFanboy.com is a website, and we read a bunch of comic books, and then we talk about them on the website, and then every Wednesday, one of us is given the task of picking the best one that they read and making that their pick of the week. They write up a little review on the website, and then we come here and we talk about that book and all the other good or bad books from the week that we feel like discussing, and that's what iFanboy is. And before we get going, we're going to talk about the books that came out this past week, so if you haven't read them, they could be spoiled for you. They could be horribly ruined, so read your books, then come back and listen, or proceed with caution. Do caution. So there it is. Connor, you had the pick this week, which was probably a pretty tough grab.
2009 started with 21 books, which
Yeesh.
It's not a good sign. I think I'm going to have to reevaluate some of these books.
How many were $4?
I don't even know. I don't even look at the prices anymore, but I think a couple are getting dropped. I need to look at this. Is too much. But they were good on the most part. It was a really strong week, so it was good. You know, when you have 21 books and they're half are bad, and you're just really hating your life. But
right.
Out of the 21 books, I thought at least 75% to 80% were really strong. So that was a good. When you have that many and they're fun, it's not so bad to read them all. But the one that was the best, that I had the most fun reading, that I enjoyed the most, was Justice Society of America 22, the ending of the Kingdom Come sequel, which I looked it up when I did my review. It started in 2007.
Boy.
Started in November of 2007. There's been two distinct arcs. So it hasn't been one arc, but the whole Superman coming from Kingdom Come to Earth One started in November 2007. So it's been a while.
And those issues have largely been on time.
Mm,
so
yeah.
It's not
yeah.
like, it's so not, you know, it's only was six.
Did you say a 16-part story on the site?
Well, it's been 16 issues since Superman's come over. So it hasn't been a 16-part story, but it's been 16 issues since the sort of quasi-sequel to Kingdom Come has begun. And that includes two one-shots that came out a couple months ago. So that's 14 regular issues. He came over in issue 9, I believe, and then two one-shots. But this was the wrap-up. This was the end of the GOG story. This is the end of the story with Superman from the Kingdom Come world. This is, he returns back. He leaves after this, but this was the culmination of a long road of comic books from Geoff Johns. And it's funny because the writing, looking back on that, I thought about Green Lantern, where he's doing this really long story with Blackest Night that's been lasting for years, at least as long, because he started with Sinestro War, and he's doing the same thing with New Krypton, which has started, you know, a couple months ago, and it's going to go all through 2009. So he's really doing something unusual in that he's telling these long superhero stories, which doesn't happen a lot. Brubaker does in Captain America. It happens, but it doesn't happen nearly as much as you get with Vertigo books or independent books, which are long stories. He's telling long stories.
Well, I think that only happens in mainstream superhero comics when you get those guys who have, like, ultimate job security. Bendis, Johns,
Well, yeah, because everybody else has to interrupt their story every 6 months for the goddamn Hulk to come and take over the, you know? Like, you have an event coming. You can't just...
Right now, if the Hulk were to wreck house in JSA, I would buy that.
How could you not? You kind of have to.
Okay.
How did that happen? It would make sense. But
most of the time, if you try to tell a long-form story like that in mainstream comics, you end up like Peter David, who has to pause X-Factor every two issues to scroll something.
Yeah, which is funny because in the, 10 years ago, Peter David was a big enough name where he could get away with telling a 5-year Hulk story when he was doing the Hulk, which is something he can't do anymore. But in this particular issue, we had GOG on Earth. Now GOG is this self-proclaimed deity who's arrived on Earth. He's going to save everyone, and then he turned one of the JSA members into Magog, or Magog, as we've been corrected, Magog. was the catalyst in Kingdom Come. He was the one that turned the world bad. He killed the Joker. He turned all the heroes violent. He was the impetus for Superman leaving and the whole storyline therein. So now you've got Magog on this Earth. Superman's freaking out because he's seeing the same thing happening to this Earth that happened to his Earth. And then in the last issue, GOG showed his true colors. They had the big fight with the god began, and this is where it ends, with the JSA triumphing, because that's what they do. And then Superman returns to Kingdom Come, and you get a really nice ending, which was what really did it for me. Was the Superman is reintegrated into Kingdom Come at the spot he was taken away, which was where the blast happened. And if you haven't read Kingdom Come, you probably shouldn't. You should probably skip to the next book, because we'll probably spoil that as we did. I did in my pick of the week review, and you see basically the last couple of pages. You see the ending of Kingdom Come interspersed with the JSA members picking up the pieces from the battle. So you see half a page of Alex Ross's Kingdom Come and half a page of Dale Eaglesham's JSA. And I thought there was some really great character stuff between the members of the JSA, where they were all dealing with Dr. Midnight. He'd gotten his sight back, and then he lost it again. And the guy who turned into Magog is still Magog. He was the only one that wasn't changed back to his previous form. Steel.
the page with Dr. Midnight, the panel... the girl, Maxine, is saying, it's me, Dr. Midnight, and he is squeezing her boob.
I didn't even notice that until right now.
He's blind, and he's just, there's several panels like that this week, and I'm going to try to remember to point them out. But I was like, seriously? He's squeezing her boob.
I'm blind, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. she's like 16, too. It's just a bad perspective on the issue, but it just looks like he's squeezing a boob. Anyway,
so you say.
And then, that's always my excuse. I'm sorry, I'm blind. and then at a certain point in this cutting back and forth, it just stays on the Kingdom Come. Basically, Starman, who is a member, he's the crazy member of the JSA, who's also from the Kingdom Come universe, but is staying permanently in our universe, or Earth One, is he's the one that sent Superman back. He controls Stargates. He sent him back through the multiverse. And they ask him what happened. He says, don't worry, he'll be fine. I've seen his future. He has a good life. And then after that, we get one more page from Kingdom Come, which is a scene we already saw. And then we get three pages of just seeing the rest of Superman's life through the next 1,000-plus years. Little nice little scenes. They have no dialogue. It's just purely Alex Ross art. And this is one instance where his art really works. I really like it, but a lot of people think, you know... A lot of people, there's mixed opinions on him. He can be stiff.
I have one of those mixed opinions, but I think that when he does a good job, you can see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and here it's just about capturing emotion in a single image, and when he doesn't have to do storytelling, there's less of a problem. It's just one image that tells a story. Here we see Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman with Superman and Wonder Woman's kids.
They have a lot of dogs.
They have a lot of dogs. They have a cat, I see.
There's a cat. There's three dogs. There's a flying child.
There's four kids, and one of the kids is dressed as Batman, which I thought was funny. And then we see Bruce's funeral when he's finally died, and we see an old Dick Grayson, and we see, you know, this is a nice little scene with that. And then we see the kids grown up, and we see the future, and then we see the Justice Legion of Superheroes in the future, and we see there was a tiny panel of the Legion in the Kingdom Come, which is basically just showing where everybody was, and this is very reminiscent of that scene. And then we see a smiling old Superman 1,000 years in the future, and it's a really nice shot of Superman sort of smiling at what his legacy has wrought.
Here's something that occurred to me as I was reading these pages. Okay, so Superman's been on Earth, like, what, 40, 50 years? He goes gray at the temples. 10 years later, he's still a little gray. 20 years later, he's got gray hair. 100 years later, he's got gray hair. He pretty much looks the same, but he's wearing glasses. And then, and like, it takes 1,000 years for him to go. Right. So theoretically, his hair would have gone gray when he was, like, 10.
Like, yeah, no, I always thought the gray temples in Kingdom Come didn't really work in the way that they portray Superman, but...
Well, they would work in the terms of stress. That's the way that I look at it. Like, he has super stress, and that's why he went gray.
Right.
But that's nitpicking. I'll give you that.
Yeah. But I thought his capturing Superman's little wry smile at the end there was just fantastic. It was a great image of him.
Yeah. I got to say, I was reading the issue, and I was like, oh, that's pretty good. It's funny because, like, it snuck up on me a little bit because it's funny because it's been going on for a really long time, but I was like, oh, it's over. I didn't realize it was going to be over so soon. I just figured it would go on forever. and I got to the end, and the switch to those pages, first it was integrated, and then it just switched over, and I was like, man, that was kind of a tour de force.
Yeah.
I mean, that was strong, strong comic booking, and it's like... How much longer? How much more can Geoff Johns do this?
Yeah.
He's amazing. You don't even have to like it to be like, all right, he's very good.
So this is definitely an example of patience paying off, though, because you're saying a 16-part quasi, like basically a 16-part story that you sort of felt, Connor, should not have existed in the first place, because you were not all about the Kingdom Come sequel.
Well, yeah, I didn't think Kingdom Come needed a sequel. I don't think it still does. Yeah. I don't think it needs... I mean, it's different in that it's not like a miniseries that was said, this is the sequel to Kingdom Come. It's sort of taking place within the story. It doesn't need to be integrated. It's not like the Marvels, which specifically marketed as a sequel to Kingdom Come. This is a sequel, but it's
Alex. I missed Alex Ross on that one this week.
So I didn't even buy that one. But I don't think this is necessary, but I do think it was a great story. Even though in the middle it got kind of meandering, it didn't end up coming back at the end. Yeah. And we got 4 more issues of Geoff Johns on Justice Society before he moves on to Flash.
Oh, cool. So I can cut down a book. All right. Who's taking over?
They haven't announced it yet.
Oh. I can't imagine. I mean, it would have to be.
Well, we had the same discussion when Bendis announced he was leaving Daredevil, so who knows?
Yeah. Okay.
Look where that's gotten us.
I'm reading Dwayne Sprzynski's Iron Fist, so who, you know.
Speaking of Brubaker, Incognito number 1 came out, which was probably the most talked about book on iFanboy.com this week. It is the book there. Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips are taking a break from Criminal to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out. What did you guys, I mean, you guys talk now.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I was not on board for Sleeper. I was back in the days when I had a pull list. My shop manager gave me what he described as a good jumping on point to Sleeper, and he was mistaken.
Yeah, that's issue 1. That. That's the only good jumping on place for Sleeper.
There was a wolf lady. I didn't care. But so it was nice to kind of get in on the ground floor and see people are comparing it to Sleeper. I don't know if that comparison is accurate or not. Anybody who wants to jump in, feel free to do that.
No.
Okay.
No, not really. I mean, I suppose tonally it's sort of similar, but it's not. Sleeper hooked me a lot stronger than this one did originally, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Incognito is the story of a supervillain who is in some sort of witness protection program. Or rehabilitation program. He was a supervillain. Now he is neutered by the government chemically, and he works as a file clerk. His powers have been suppressed. He's got a miserable life. It's sort of wanted with a different twist on it.
It's wanted with a little more whining. It's kind of what it is, and it's not bad. I mean, it's better written than Wanted by a long shot. I wasn't wowed by this, honestly. I liked it. I thought it was good, but given what has happened before, I think I wanted it to be stronger, but it felt instead quite familiar. I suppose it felt like Wanted.
I didn't read Wanted. It reminded me of a prose book called Soon I Will Be Invincible.
Oh, I just got that for Christmas.
I think you'll like it. and so, you know, for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. But it's sort of pulpy. It gets it sort of back to the, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of science villainy, and it felt, I mean, I like the kind of back to basics Domino Mask pulpy approach that he took to it. I don't know where it's going. That sort of appeals to me. He apparently testified against the supervillain who was his boss, and that's why he's in, you know, jail now, and apparently he'll be getting out, and that'll spice things up a little bit. But I'm definitely on board. I think part of me thinks I wasn't ready for Ed Brubaker when Sleeper landed in my lap, but I've, you know, after spending a couple of years seeing how good he is, I look forward to kind of tearing into this one with, yeah, you know, gusto.
If you haven't, I mean, to Sleeper, like, literally, if you were allotting money one way or another, I can tell you for sure you can go buy Sleeper. You know,
well, no, you can't, because they're not all in
print. Oh, they're not? Oh, nope. My God, that's a freaking crime.
We added to another thing that DC's done wrong with their trades.
Yeah, well, there you go. And I mean, just right away, it hooks you incredibly. It's really like you cannot put it down. I got to the end of this, and I was like, all right, that was pretty cool. But I didn't feel like, oh, my God, I need to know what happens next.
It was pretty cool, but I thought, you know, I would really rather have been an issue criminal.
I felt the same way. Did you guys, and I hate doing this, because Sean Phillips is totally one of my favorite artists. I mean,
his face kept changing, the main character.
It just seemed looser. Didn't it seem, I don't know if the pencils and inks weren't as tight, or he was just sort of going for a different, sort of slightly different style, but it just seemed looser than what I'm used to from him.
It definitely didn't seem like criminal.
No.
To me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was good. It was solid. It's a 6-issue mini. I definitely, you know, I'm sure by the end of it, I'll enjoy it. Unfortunate. It wasn't knock your socks off. And people, since there was a lot of talk about it in iFanboy, a lot of people checked it out who don't read Criminal and don't read Brubaker's other stuff, and they were pretty disappointed, and they said they weren't going to read his other stuff, which I think is a crime, because comparatively, it was still very good. Comparatively, it's a little weaker than Criminal. It's weaker than Sleeper, so it's not the best of the examples.
And again, this is only part one.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. But we're not saying it was bad. It was, I enjoyed it. It was like, you know.
Yeah, but I did too.
I assume that it's we're all around like, yeah, it was okay. But I think we were just expecting it to be awesome or something.
Well, if the audience, if they're not a criminal, if they're not in Criminal's audience, what are the odds that Incognito is going to do it for them?
Well, it's superheroes. I've seen comments along the lines of, "Oh, finally he's back to doing something with superheroes, so I'll check this out." Which
is it really? Is it really just ad capes? Is that really who we are?
Yeah, a little bit, unfortunately. Although, I don't get the sense that this is a story he's doing as a land grab. You know, I don't think he's like,
right,
this will hook him, you know.
Yeah.
Well, he seems to be a story he's had for a while he wanted to tell. I just, you know, I just miss Criminal. Anyway, another book that, it's hard, Magneto Testament number 4 is the four or five issue miniseries. This is such a heart-wrenching book, and I kind of wanted, I considered it as pick of the week, but it's like, how do you glowingly write a book about Auschwitz? You know,
right.
It was.
I really enjoyed this.
I know. I really enjoyed seeing the bodies being burned, and it was
episode 9 of Band of Brothers. It's fine.
It's funny because they did a Band of Brothers mini marathon over in the last week or whatever, and I watched the end of it, and that episode, it really gets me every time. And this is basically the ad episode. It was this whole story has been Magneto in Germany as a kid during the war, escaping the Nazis, and in the last issue he was captured. In this issue, he's trained into Auschwitz, and it's awful, and it's not an awful comic. It was a really great comic. No. It was awful in the subject matter. You know, he's put to work burning the bodies, and you see the people being put into the ovens. I mean, it's a heart wrenching story.
The splash page with the eyeglasses, is what got me.
There's a guy that they're going through all the people's belongings, and the guy's got a box of eyeglasses, and he tosses them in through a door, and then you turn the page and there's a double page spread of just a room full of eyeglasses, and just like, oh, that's awful.
Now, so far it's been like, it's been emotional, and it's hit all the points of the Holocaust, you know, almost as if it's meant to be used in schools at some point or something. But what I'm very curious about is where they get to the point a month from now where he uses his magical superpowers and flies away.
That's what I was curious as well. I didn't know if it was going to happen here or not, but it's like, what are they going to do? Is he going
does
to
that,
manifest his power and destroy Auschwitz? Like, what are they going to do? Does it undercut Marvel's living in the free real world, you know, mentality or what? But
how many issues are there total?
Five.
There's one more left. And it ends with him discovering that his boyhood crush is in the women's camp, the Auschwitz women's camp. And so he's still a teenager. He's 17 or 16, and he hasn't developed his powers yet. There's been indications of he threw a javelin further than anybody else in the first issue, and this sort of a indicator that he could, it was a metal javelin. But other than that,
he's a late bloomer.
Yes,
but you wonder how it's going to affect the story, because clearly he normally probably wouldn't make it out of the camp alive. But probably the powers will do it. But how will that affect history?
So far, it's had real weight, and it's been a real gut punch. And it would be like that. I'm worried that it'd be like that episode of Band of Brothers if it suddenly turned into a musical number.
Yeah. So who knows?
Yeah.
I will say this: this is written by Greg Pak. Really great. I've never loved anything he's written up to this point, but damn, this is really good. Clearly, this is a subject close to his heart. I remember didn't the first issue have a scathing article about people who deny the Holocaust in the back?
Yeah, it's obvious that they've been doing their research and not and this is where it like the fiction and the reality sort of rub each other in a strange way. I think that same text in the first issue was talking about how this was going to reconcile the varying Magneto backstories that have, like, apparently there have been several and they conflict with one another over the years. And now that I'm on issue 4, all I can think is, who gives a shit about Magneto continuity when I'm looking at Auschwitz?
This is almost the best indie book I've read this year, because it's called Magneto Testament, but it's got nothing to do with anything other than people in Germany during the war, and it's just fantastic. I can't recommend it highly enough if you can deal with that kind of horror. Which is worse than any kind of zombie you could think of.
But if you're looking for a book that doesn't have anything to do with Nazis, but also makes you feel horrible, Scalped would not be a bad choice. Scalped 24 out this week. These are coming. This is 2 years straight now.
It feels like so much longer.
Yeah, but only like a day and a half have passed in the story, which is not. This is totally not a complaint. That was a joke. Basically, we've spent several issues now building up outside of this little roadhouse. All of these different people arrived, and something's going on in there, and now finally we get to see what happens inside that bar. This is another Red Crow story. This hasn't really been Dash's book for a while.
Basically since the heroine storyline.
Yeah, and I'm cool with that. I think, they were talking about this on Around Comics, and I'm sort of inclined to agree that Red Crow is one of the most fascinating new characters being published in comics right now.
Oh, I finished this book and I said I'm putting a stake in the ground that Red Crow is the best character in comics right now.
Yeah, I mean,
he is by far the best character in any comic.
To bring it back around, one of the things that was great about Sleeper was that the main character in that, whose name I just can't remember at the moment. You remember?
No.
Okay. Well, either way, he was basically a double agent undercover who lost his contact. So basically he was out in the cold, which I believe is the title of the thing. Now he was a great character because you didn't know where he really stood. Like, you kind of thought, well, God, he kind of likes this bad guy stuff, but he also says he's a good guy. And in the same way, Red Crow he's like Vic Mackey. He's good and bad and detestable and likable and respectable and horrible. He's all of these things at once, and you can't put your finger on it, but it's fascinating to try to figure out his motives and what's behind what he's doing. And this was just more of that character development. Some things happen, like he showed you different sides of him, what he thinks, why he does what he does. So he doesn't think he's a bad guy.
Well, he knows he's not a good guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows that. But he also knows he's complex. He's had a complex life, so it's not easy. Life isn't black and white, especially when you're in a position of power. It's not easy, but this is a bloody violent good issue. I really enjoyed this issue. This is one of my favorite ones in a while.
Yeah, this was good.
I promise I will read it one day. if somebody puts on a cape.
Oh, shut up. What about Captain America 45, Jim?
Plenty of capes in there. Batroc the Leaper and whatnot.
Were there actually any capes?
That guy had a cloak.
Oh, okay, you're right. The shadowy guy.
The man with no face. Yeah, I thought that was a very strong issue, although it too has a very strange panel.
Oh, you found it. Yep.
Let me hear which one you think it is.
the office chair that has no balance.
Right.
I think, Black Widow Natasha, the slut of the Marvel Universe.
Stop.
She-Hulk has been rehabilitated.
Every time a writer needs somebody to hook their character up with, it's like, bring along Black Widow. She slept with everybody. She's rushing those. It's a different set of rules. It's a different set of things. I really like her. She goes to break into the UN records department, which looks a lot like the technical area where they kept stuff where we went to college. And she stands on the edge of a rickety plastic office chair, like the top of the back of the chair, to check the computer. In a feat of balance that would not happen.
That's so weird. Why would they do that?
I don't know.
Why would she just sit in a chair?
Sitting is for pedestrian people. This is an adventure of champions.
I have that chair in my office. You can barely sit in it normally. It doesn't work that way. Anyway, that's enough of that. This book, I think that it's fair to say that it's been petering out a little bit.
Yep.
It's been losing
ever since they wrapped up the death storyline.
Yeah, I mean when Red Skull went away, it lost some of its engagement for me. Now don't get me wrong. I think that the Batroc thing is interesting because that he's taking a character and he's trying to give him some weight where he had none before, where he was a joke, and that's kind of fun. And it's a lot of fun to watch Bucky try to be Captain America, and you know, I don't want to watch him fumble around Kyle Rayner style for too long because that gets old to me. I've seen it a lot.
The narration takes on almost a Spider-Man like quality as he's kind of feeling his way through, you know, oops, shouldn't have done that, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But the difference being, though, that he's in a position that's already giant. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whereas Spider-Man was trying to prove himself, he's already, you know, like, he's already Captain America. He's already got something to live up to. But what did this for me, though, was at the end, the reveal that they're stealing the original Human Torch's body. Oh, that's Josh Crack right there.
Yeah,
that's good stuff. I was really happy because that reminds me, of course, of the great West Coast Avengers storyline where they unearth him.
Yeah. And harkens back to the war.
Yes.
Which is, you know, delicious Josh candy.
I love the idea of these guys and almost their Band of Brothers fealty to their friends from the war. You know, like to Bucky, you know, Namor and the Human Torch and Toro and Steve Rogers, you know, those are the most important people in the world to him. So the idea that, you know, they were screwing with his body. I can't remember his name, the Torch. He's got a name, but I don't remember it. That they were screwing with his body, and even though he's not even a human, like, he's a robot, like, that cannot stand. And so, like, now he's got a purpose. And when you put that driven purpose into somebody like that, especially when it's, like, you're literally a World War II war buddy, you know, that's going to be good stuff.
Yeah.
I would like them to bring back Steve Epting.
Yeah, I would be cool with that.
Yeah, I didn't know this artist.
Something's been lost since he's gone. It's Luke Ross. I threw the book.
Luke Ross, the guy from, he was Jonah Hex for a while.
Yeah.
And he's fine. It's funny because the Darmada's colors really tend to make all of the artists that have been on this look a lot alike.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the tone for this book has been so consistent through those colors, almost like, you know, like Dave Stewart does for Hellboy stuff. But yeah, I see what you mean. It's not. It's just not quite the same. It's not bad. It's just not quite the same.
I'm not sure what the book's missing now. It's definitely missing something. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it.
You did go from the Red Skull to Batroc the Leaper.
But there's
somebody
behind that.
Yeah, oh, there is. It's probably Madcap.
Oh, no. It better not be Madcap.
I'm amazed I even remember who that is. I thought the ending to this was very satisfying. Part of this being one long story, as we alluded to before, is that whenever it says part 3 of 3, I sort of go, yeah, whatever. I never believe, like, I'm going to leave with any sense of closure or, you know, it's always to be continued. But there were a lot of pages where it was like, no, it can't be. And I thought I was positive that I would never find out what exactly it could not be. Uh-huh. Like, at least not until next issue. But this, you know, the setup paid off, ready for the next leg of the adventure. And I was delighted to actually know what was going on.
Yeah, he pulled me in at the end. I'll say that. I was very happy with the ending of that one. So hopefully it will pick up steam in much the same way that Daredevil has, which also lost some fervor. If you wanted to subscribe to these comic books, but you weren't near a comic book store, You could go to Discount Comic Book Service, dcbservice.com. They have monthly specials of up to 75% off, 40% off major publishers, flat rate shipping of $5.95 for all U.S. orders. You can buy anything that shows up in previews. There are over 5,400 trade paperbacks in stock and available for your ordering pleasure at the moment. And, of course, you can track all your orders online when you make them. Go to dcbservice.com and thank them very much for sponsoring us into this year as well. Thank you.
Subscribe to the $4 ones. The discount will take the sting out.
Nice.
Yeah.
There you go.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
Brought it back. Green Lantern 36. This is one of those weeks where like three Geoff Johns books came out, three Mark Millar books came out. It's one of those weird weeks that always seems to happen. But when you have a Rage of the Red Lanterns issue, you're going to have lots and lots of blood.
Yes.
Lots of blood.
It's like a Dokken video. I assume. I don't really know.
These Blue Lanterns freak me out. I feel like they talk like the Kamino aliens from the prequel trilogies.
What is blue?
Hope.
Ah.
These are the unfettered optimists. They live on a lush, verdant land. They have a giant blue lantern. The renegade, we learn here that the renegade Ganthet and whatever his girlfriend's name is came here, and they're building their very hopeful, positive blue lanterns and recruiting Vishnu, the many-armed elephant god.
Oh, as you
so first they, of course, they want Hal Jordan to lead them.
That's, which, by the way, doesn't fit.
No, it doesn't at all.
It doesn't. And
he's not a cockeyed optimist.
He's not.
Character.
He's a military man.
Oh, yeah.
And those guys are not cockeyed optimists. That's not what they do. That being said, like, the Blue Lanterns are an interesting take on it. One of the things I thought was really inventive and interesting about it was that every time he's in the proximity of one of them, his ring gets way, way overcharged.
Yeah.
And, like, you see, like, there's the counter of, you know, 200% of capacity. You're way, and, like, it starts to be like, there's too much energy going on here. So they're too happy for their own good. It was interesting. I mean, it was just basically an introduction to the Blue Lanterns for the most part and a little view into what's happening over in the Red Lanterns area, where they've captured Sinestro.
And they're also eating other Yellow Lanterns alive.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
It's very gross, very gruesome.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know when this starts, but I'm about ready for it to start. Whatever it is.
If you think about it, they held off for a long time. They stuck a 7-8 part origin story in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many more colors we got to go through? We got to do the pink people, we got to do orange.
Fuchsia, burnt umber. Phthalo blue lanterns.
Connor just keeps a giant box of crayons whenever we do the show, just in case he has to come up with random colors.
Hey, a Kick-Ass issue came out, issue number 5.
What?
Well, I thought for sure we'd get the movie before we got the next issue.
So what's it like to still be reading this book?
Yeah.
It was weird. Yeah. I still don't understand this comic. I don't understand.
Does a 9-year-old girl behead anyone in this one?
No, but she's gonna next month. She shows up.
Genital mutilation.
In this issue, the Kick-Ass, there's a new hero on the scene, Red Mist, who has been stealing Kick-Ass's thunder. He's been busting some mobsters, and so Kick-Ass gets jealous, and they go out, and then he finds him, and they have a team up, and he finds out the guy's just an idiot, who's a pothead, who got lucky because his brother or somebody dates somebody in the mob, so he knew about stuff to tip the cops to. It was just kind of like, there was interesting scenes and dialogue and things in here, but at the end of the day, I finished it, and I was like, I still don't understand the point of this book.
So you still on board with it? Are you done yet?
Well, I love that. No, I love the Romita art. It's just beautiful, and it's interesting. It's definitely an interesting concept, and I just don't understand the point of it. I don't know. You know, one issue every 5 or 6 months isn't so bad for me to be curious about.
It's nice looking.
Remember, it's beautiful. This issue is particularly beautiful.
I'm not sure I'm ready to watch John Romita drawing little girls eviscerating people just yet.
It's been pretty awesome. Back to Brooklyn. Remember when the first issue came out and I said I didn't have a problem with the art?
Yes.
I do now.
Then after that, you did.
I definitely do now.
Yeah? A little not right for you?
I love the story. Back to Brooklyn number 3 from Garth Ennis and Jimmy Palmiotti and Mihaljo Vucelic. I probably just butchered that, but I'm sorry.
Vucelic is a name from some TV show or movie.
Yeah, it is. I love the story of a Brooklyn mobster who's turning on his crew because his brother, the head of the mob, did something horrible, and we find out what the horrible thing he did in this issue. But the art is just getting too distracting. The cover is terrible. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
The art for me has been the same as it's been all along. It's not my favorite, but I'm not losing it. I mean, the thing is, I came out of this with one sort of thought in my mind, and that was those first two pages were terrifying, and that is an excellent villain.
He does. I mean, it's just great Garth Ennis writing.
It absolutely is. And the last issue, I felt a little lost. They were running around and doing stuff, whereas this one, they explained what's happening, and we got the reason that the stuff is happening, and so we know that we're heading into the final two issues of concluding the story. It was good. It was fine. It was as good as anything. My favorite, you know, honestly, my favorite part of reading this was what Brooklyn did to me, part one, written by Jimmy Palmiotti at the end. It was an essay of him and his Catholic school hijinks.
They've been fun. That's been in the back of every issue, is his Brooklyn memories, and they've been. He tells a good story.
Those were great. I could keep reading that. You know, the book was fine, but that stuff in the back was good.
He should write a book. He should write a memoir.
Yes,
actually, he should.
It's rare that I would buy a book for the back matter.
I usually skip back matter. I don't read the criminal incognito back matter, but.
But surely you read the Powers Letters column.
No, I don't.
I skim through those. I got the point. It's like watching a 9-hour long Kevin Smith movie. You get the point. It's fine.
Every time I look at it, I think, boy, this paper, what I could have done.
Wolverine number 70, Old Man Logan part 5, which you finally find out why Wolverine gave up his life of heroing, and it was a pretty good reason why.
Yes, it was. It's been a while, has it not? I mean, Steve McNiven's been McNivening or Miller. Who's to say with this book, really?
Yeah. I'm sure there's been some Millering around, as well as some
some Millering and some McNivening. Still, I flip open that first page and I think, geez, that guy can draw some comic books.
Yeah, he can. Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm cool with waiting.
I don't know what's happened to him since Civil War, but now I look at the Wolverine issues that come out and I just go, take your time, buddy.
Yeah. Don't rush this. We've seen what happens when you rush it.
It's like Frank Whiteley.
Yeah. It's totally. Right. Listen, if you can't do it that fast, I can see that. It's right there on the page.
Right.
That being said, the issue was a little bit of you had to do the explaining, so the story didn't move forward at all. So now we're still sort of stuck. It had to be explained, and that's fine. But I do want to know what happens next. I've enjoyed all of this so far. Yeah. So
I'm like embarrassed that I didn't figure it out. Like,
I did.
What would turn Wolverine into a hippie?
Well, I knew halfway through that. Like, I was like, these aren't bad guys he's killing.
What happens is when the villains all get together, which seems to be the theme for the last 2 years in comics, is the villains organizing in like a union, all the Marvel and DC villains. They get together and then they attack all the heroes, and so Wolverine and Jubilee are in the X-Mansion and all these villains attack, and Wolverine just slices the hell out of all of them.
For pages and pages and pages.
Like cutting heads off, cutting people in the face, through the face, through the chest, and it's just bloodbath.
I am obviously his target market, because he played me like a banjo. I was like, these aren't the ideal villains to face Wolverine at all. Slice right through those octopus tentacles. Look, there he goes. they don't have any organizational skills at all.
You know what was great? Big dead Gambit right there. First thing you see.
Oh, very sad.
So then the reveal is that Mysterio, which in a really badass moment for Mysterio, was fooling Wolverine into thinking he was killing villains, when in fact he was murdering all of the X-Men. All of them.
And
this two-page spread of just all the dead X-Men, including a really nice shot of dead Gambit, which made me happy.
I like Mark Miller, and I think Grant Morrison, too. I think I like them best when they are not dealing with quote-unquote real continuity, you know? Like, whenever someone doesn't have to clean up after their crazy hijinks at the end of the story. And, you know, kind of like when I see, say, Cyborg Thor, for example, or whatever 15 things Morrison was doing in New X-Men, I had this kind of sense of, like, leave my friends alone, you know? But now that all of this can be kind of rebooted, or it never happened, or it's just a story.
It's the future. Down. No one has to care. It never has to be talked about or seen again.
By the way, my favorite page in this issue, which is pretty much a little one-page story in itself, is Dwight's Toll.
Yes.
The little kid. Who's Dwight? Does anyone know?
No, I don't know. I have no idea.
That's fine. I don't even, you know, it's just a little kid in an iron in an Ant-Man helmet.
Right.
I want my 80 cents. It's cool. You see the skulls. All right, great.
I really enjoyed this. This has been a great Wolverine story. Fantastic. I don't even know how you can top it.
The magical ingredient is Hawkeye, by the way.
Yeah. He hasn't done anything. He's had nothing cool in a while. he will. He's going to die, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Morgan Freeman. He is Morgan.
Hawkeye in this is awesome as Ollie Queen from Dark Knight Returns.
Yes, I thought that more than once
as
I was reading it this morning. But it doesn't detract from it at all. Did anybody else read Avengers The Initiative by any chance? Just
not since issue 2.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, I can't blame you, really. But what I mean is, What I mean is, this is the book that it's well written by a writer I like about a premise that I find interesting, starring characters that I have no idea who they are, and I don't, I can't remember from one issue to the next their names and things. So, like, yeah, there's a definite curve to it. I always kind of go, oh God, when I buy it. And then when I finish reading it, I go, oh, that was not so bad.
I
like
that.
That.
I have books like
yeah.
that.
But this one is a part of the many stage bid by Dan Slott to become the Marvel Universe's Geoff Johns. I've realized recently that he has a habit of kind of getting under the hood and fixing things that don't kind of seem to make sense. Like he took a whack at rehabilitating She-Hulk, who had been before the Black Widow made into the slut of the Marvel Universe for a while, and then he became one of the Spidey Brain Trusts, and he's in the process of explaining the inexplicable Harry Osborn situation right now. And in this issue of the Initiative, he and in that one-shot Secret Invasion Requiem that came out last week, that was another one of those $4 glorified reprints of old Avengers stories, but in the three pages of actual new story of that and in the Initiative, he goes out of his way to begin the process of rehabilitating Hank Pym.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say, that's the character who needs it.
Yeah, Iron and...
isn't he gone, though, yeah, right. Slott's last issue?
I think so, yeah. I think Christos Gage takes over next so that Dan Slott can move up to the majors and use Hank Pym in the Really Real Avengers.
Well, Mighty Avengers.
Right. Yeah, the sellout Avengers. Right. But in this issue, Hank Pym returns to the base at Stamford, which returns. He's never actually been there before. And he has a nice long talk with the Avenger, who I want to call Jocasta, but I think is called Jocasta.
That's correct.
She apparently, I've not up on my Avengers history, but apparently she has all of the brain patterns of the Wasp encoded
yeah, she's,
into
she's Wasp robot, yeah.
She is to Janet as the Vision is to Simon.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. And, well, basically, he uses Jocasta as a Jan simulator so that he, ugh, now that she's gone, can work through her death and his absence from the world. She's kind of filling him in on everything that he's missed, and apparently he's missed quite a lot. And they take it as an opportunity to tease you with the prospect that he was a Skrull when he hit Jan. But then at the last minute, they own up to it and take their medicine and say, no, that was me. That was all me. And so he's kind of beginning, it's apparent that he's going to go through his paces and sort of atone in Mighty Avengers or wherever Slott puts him next. And hopefully by the time it's all done, I guess Ant-Man will be somebody that I won't be embarrassed by, I guess. But
there's no reason to be embarrassed by Hank Pym.
Well, I guess Hank Pym should be a little embarrassed by Hank Pym, but... Maybe not me.
You can hold your head high in all aspects of your life that he will.
Well, even reading a lot, I didn't read this, but I read that special, and even without hitting Jan, he was a little bitch back then. Yeah. Like, he was awful.
But I like this issue of the Initiative. I don't know what the hell they're going to do with it next, because basically the Initiative has been revealed as a Skrull plot, so I don't know if the program is even supposed to continue or what crazy Green Goblin is going to do with it, but I look forward to seeing the direction this book goes in, even though I'm not strictly speaking sure who's writing it anymore.
We are not the only ones who will go on and on about what books we like. You can do that by writing your own user reviews at ifanboy.com. If you go to ifanboy.com/comics, you can pull your comics, and then you can pick which ones you want to write reviews about, and we like to pick a couple and point them out. Connor, why don't you tell us about the first one?
BC1, he writes about Batman 684 and says story 2 out of 5, art 3 out of 5, and 0.00 users picked it as the pick of the week. And he says, well, this book did a few things pretty well. The overall was not so good. There was some good pieces of dialogue. Bullock's comment about Nightwing not being Batman because Nightwing took the stairs was great. Also, March's art and O'Neill's writing did a good job showing Nightwing's frustration. I don't think that it makes Nightwing less of a character or overly whiny. He's trying to fill some big shoes and doing a bad job of it. I didn't really like this issue.
You know what? It felt like he was writing Tim and not Dick.
Yeah, Dick was completely wrong. He was not...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had mentioned before, like, it's interesting for me to watch Denny O'Neil work. That's how I was enjoying it, but more as an exercise in how he does comics, which is admittedly an older style of writing them. So it's not as offensive as when Marv Wolfman was doing modern comics more recently, I think, but
right.
It wasn't quite right.
It just seemed out of nowhere. He's got all this angst about his own ability when no other book he's in is like that, and he wouldn't have that angst, and he's already been Batman once before, so it's not like the idea of him being charged is so out there.
He's been established as an A-game guy for a long time now, so it's like, really? All right.
Yeah. All of a sudden, him holding his head in his hands while Alfred consoles him about having to be the man was kind of...
Like, it was also weird to me that this was a Batman issue and not Detective, since that's where the story started, and we had a Batman issue last week, and it was just...
Well, they're all coming together. They're merging into one book.
The next champion took a crack at Incredible Hercules number 124, the book you constantly hear about never hearing about, and it was the pick of the week for no one, unfortunately. He says, this title always seems to be under the radar, probably because more recognizable titles are out right now. You can give all the praise in the world to a B title, but when a Batman or a Wolverine title comes out at the same time, forget it. It's a crying shame, because week in and week out, like Nova, Incredible Hercules is one of the best titles to come out.
Gave that one a 4 out of 5 on art and story, both. Still don't care. So.
I should have said that.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Listen, you knew it. Yeah.
I'm very much so. Thank you.
You read this book, right?
As a matter of fact, I do, and I like it. I feel like he is tricking me into learning mythology, either that or he's making up some stuff that is really going to embarrass me at a dinner party one day when I behave as if I know something about it.
That reminds me of Zeus's head. Have I ever told you that story before? It seems that a goat had come.
Right.
And then Zeus was stuck in the source wall, and Darkseid got angry. Hello, right. Anyone? Where'd everyone go?
This has been an interesting. There's sort of a corporate takeover of the Pantheon going on right now. Poseidon and Atlantis have been involved, and the Amazons are attempting to seize the godhood for themselves. And you know, if you like Atlas holding up the world and swinging the Washington Monument like a baseball bat, this is the book for you. I like that it doesn't take itself too seriously. I feel like I'm not saying anything you haven't heard before, but it is nonetheless true. Amadeus Cho is a great character. I don't care what you say. He's a super genius whose brain is powered by refined sugar and saturated fat. If he doesn't have junk food, he can't properly think.
And what does that do to his arteries, though?
Well, that's another problem for another time.
Does he have diabetes?
Yeah, if he did, he would cure it. Because he's just so damn smart.
With the help of Lipitor, he can.
Right.
He can, in fact, do his thing.
But
he's gonna be one of those commercials in 10 years. is it a book worth? I mean, it gets a lot of talk. Is it a book worthy of all of its talk?
It is at least worthy of trading. It's very. I mean, if you have any sort of, let me put it this way: if you like Thor, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't buy Hercules. If you buy Thor and have a sense of humor. I guess. It's very
Josh.
Grounded in... right. I didn't mean
no
to throw down a gauntlet.
No matter what anybody says, I don't want to read this. I just don't care.
Hey,
it's like,
listen.
I can't get Ron to watch Master and Commander. He just doesn't care. It's a favorite movie of mine. I've read the books. He just doesn't care, and I'm okay with that.
And believe me, I don't even know if it's pronounced Jocasta or Jocasta. What the hell does Hercules mean to me? You know, like, I could have cared less about him as a character, but on the strength of Greg Pak's writing, and I think Fred Van Lente is doing either coming on board or sharing writing chores with him. But I like the tone of it. It's not a book that's going to be the pivot point of the Marvel Universe anytime soon. But I'm glad I read it. It doesn't feel like homework like Iron Fist started to. Just to compare it to another B level book. So yeah, I mean, what's a trade? It won't kill you.
I got a stack here. Like you wouldn't believe.
So that's all the books we're going to talk about. You go to iFanboy.com. You can rate and review your own books, and maybe we will read one of your reviews on the show. In the meantime, if you do like Master and Commander, you should go over to Netflix, and they got over 100,000 movie titles with no late fees, free shipping both ways. They even got Blu-ray titles, as Josh is now finding out. They got fast delivery, and the majority of their shipments ship in one day once you get it on your queue. Plans start as low as $4.99 a month. You can get a 2-week free trial when you go to www.netflix.com/ifanboy.
As always, we get a bunch of email, and we like to answer some of it on the show. First one comes from Marvel Zombie, I wonder what he's like. I was in a discussion earlier with a fellow comic reader about Captain America, and we found ourselves calling Steve Rogers Captain America and James Barnes Bucky Captain America. It was a subconscious move on our part. Steve was gone, and we missed him, but Bucky had taken up the mantle and was fit for the job. It was his time. I realize for many fans out there, there can only be one true character to take up the name of a certain hero, but in the history of comics, the passage of a namesake is nothing new. With several Flashes and Green Lanterns, a brand new Captain America, and a soon-to-be new Batman, readers are called from time to time to say farewell to a beloved character and try to make room in their hearts for the next generation. My question is this: how long does it take for you to accept a transition between heroes? Does it last for about a year or so? Do you cling to the idea of the person calling himself Green Lantern as just a poor shadow of those that have come before and never allow yourself to accept them?
That's it. Really depends, doesn't it? I mean, depends on the character, depends on your relationship to the character, depends on a lot of...
You started reading.
I still don't really... I still call him Bucky like they do. Yeah. I just do. It's just he's going to be Bucky in my mind. It's the same way I call my friend by her name I knew her in college and not by her married name. You know, it's just the way it's in my brain.
I'm sad. I probably shouldn't admit this, but Steve Rogers, I've almost completely forgotten about.
You shut your mouth.
Yeah, you shut your fat lips.
Okay. It was nice to talk to all you listeners. Never to be heard again on the podcast.
It's like on ER. I call her Deb and not whatever that other name is. Anyway.
I don't read a whole lot of DC. This is not a real, typically not a Marvel problem.
Yeah, Ben Reilly.
Not about your legacies. Oh, man.
Young Avengers. All the Young Avengers.
There's somebody Hawkeye. In a basement. Ronin. There's somebody in a Oh, don't say that. Don't mention Hawkeye, Josh. What are you?
You know what? I like Kate Bishop. That's what I've learned. I don't need her to be called Hawkeye, and I definitely don't need him to be Ronin. But I like that character. I like Kyle Rayner. I never read Hal Jordan before. I read Kyle Rayner, so he was Green Lantern. That was cool with it. I think that DC is gonna have a real big problem with Wally West. Because he was Flash for a really long time. Really, really long time.
He's been Flash for 20-plus years.
Yeah, and so, like, we're accepting. So what's he going to be? I don't like it when the old characters come back and make the new the ones who'd been established there and also ran, you know?
But here's the thing. Wally West has been and also ran for at least a year.
Yeah.
He is. No one ever talks about him. His stories no one cares about his stories. When he shows up in other books, he doesn't do anything. He hasn't been a dead character for at least since Infinite Crisis. He hasn't done anything. I can tell you one thing the Flash has done.
You talk about legacy and passing the torch, but all these people who supposedly pass the torch eventually come back. The Bruce Wayne will not... We'll see him again within the next 2 years. So what then? A demotion?
He will be Robin. He'll make him wear the little suit. Say, how do you like that? Wearing that little underwear thing around town.
And he's taller, but he's in the awkward Robin suit. I don't feel comfortable with this, Tim. Shut your face. We're doing it my way.
And try doing that for 10 years, you jerk.
The thing is, there's a 20-year-old in a basement right now with every existing Scarlet Spider action figure who pines for Ben Reilly.
There's somewhere,
Because that is what was going on when he was 10 and was reading it for the very first time. So, I mean, the Green Lantern thing, I don't know so much about, but I know that there was a passionate one. I don't like to use the word cult.
Heat.
But, the Heat, there they are, who were going to storm the Bastille and get him restored to his lanternosity. And then what happens to the other guys? Do they have to form their own thing and... Does it have to be like volleyball where we rotate every couple of years or
pretty much?
No, but it's good. It's good sometimes. You know, like
it just injects creativity. And plus with Green Lanterns, they don't have to go away. There's so many of them. Yeah. Kyle Rayner is still out there. He's a star of Green Lantern Corps. He's got his own book. People just don't buy it.
You know, how much do people get to appreciate Clint Barton now, or how much are people going to appreciate Steve Rogers when he comes back? You know, like it's good sometimes. You know, let the thing you love go. It'll come back, probably.
So this became a different discussion, but it takes actually 8 months to answer your question.
Yeah, that's about
8 months and 4 days, and then the third hour of the fourth day, that's when you decide he's not Bucky anymore.
Apparently, without Ron pushing us onward, we just mire ourselves in muddy discussions on and on and on. So that is all the time that we have for those emails. You want to write to us, you can do so at contact@ifanboy.com. We didn't get to any voicemails this week, but if you want to do that, that's 888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697. Call in, leave your voicemail.
About a half an hour. Don't go too long. You know who you are.
Half an hour?
I'm sorry. Fuck, that'd be awful. 30 seconds. Now we're going to get a whole box full of half an hour emails, and our phone bill's going to go through the roof.
My hard drive's full.
Couple of quick notes. Don't forget to look back on your podcast feed where we have a special edition show talking about The Spirit, which came out on Christmas, but we couldn't get to it until now. So if you are on iTunes, look behind this one, or your other podcast aggregators, look behind this show. Or just go to fanboy.com and you can directly download it there or stream it, and you can take a listen to that. And a little bit of business. We begin a lot of emails from people who are new to the site, signing up to iFanboy.com, registering, and they write and say that they haven't. You register, and then you get an email from us verifying. And a lot of people don't get that email, and they write to us. And eventually, the answer is always it's in your spam folder. So take a look. If you have registered lately and you haven't gotten your email from us, look in your spam folder. It's probably in there. If it's not, write us at contact@iFanboy.com. But there's a good chance if you didn't get that email, it's in your spam folder. That's almost always the answer. So I thought I'd just get it out there all at once. And if you have a technical problem with iFanboy or something related to that, it's probably not a good idea to call the voicemail line, because we don't usually check them that often. We don't check it until we do the show. If it's a pressing problem, we're not going to get to it. Contact@iFanboy.com is for all of your technical problems, issues, things. That's where everyone sees it right away, as opposed to the voicemail, which we didn't. There was somebody called and I didn't hear it for 2 weeks, so that's probably why you didn't hear from us.
And not to make it sound like iFanboy.com is no fun, because it is a lot of fun. You can go there and read the Pick of the Week review that Connor wrote. You can go for more in-depth discussion on all the books of the week. Every book that comes out can have a discussion going on about it. You can pull your books and do all sorts of things. Guys like Jim and, of course, Paul and Mike and Sonia writing stuff all the time. Great, great stuff, including ourselves a little bit. And so you should go to iFanboy.com often. And frequently, which are the
same. It's really the hub for all things iFanboy. So if there's news or things you don't know why things are happening, usually it's you can find out there.
You know what I hear a lot? I get stuff on like Facebook and whatever. Like, what happened to the minis? It was all there. You gotta go to the site, man. It's a good site. We're very proud of it.
It was also on here, so they probably don't even listen.
Yeah, who knows?
While you're there, you go to iFanboy.com/store, where you can click there. You'll see the memberships, but you also can click through to the Amazon store. That's where you can see the books we talk about in the video show, as well as just things we like. Or you can go to Amazon if you want to shop through Amazon, iFanboy.com/Amazon. It'll help us out. It'll be cool if you do that.
Yeah, you probably got gift certificates. Spend that holiday money, but do it via the site. Every Wednesday there will be a video show. Well, that's not exactly true. Every Wednesday there's usually an iFanboy video show. If that happened for the last 2 years straight, or you can go to revision3.com/iFanboy to see all of the past episodes. This past week you saw Death and Comics, where we talked about Death and Comics and missed a lot of the big ones, but that's because we had so much to say about the ones that there's just so much to talk about with that one. So make sure you check out the discussion under that one as well. This week, for the first time and only time, this is not a habit. We are taking a week off. We needed it. Our computers were smoking. It was time. We were taking one quick week off, and after that, you've got your Secret Invasion show where we go back over, we read it again, we talk about
it. Really?
Oh yeah.
I was just about to reread it. How about that?
You should read it before a week from Wednesday.
Okay.
And you'll be good to go.
And, Jim, if you've got TiVo, you can watch the show on TiVo, and it'll be nice and big and in high definition, and it'll be beautiful.
Yes.
And everyone will be happy. So you can go to TiVo. If you got your TiVo, you can go to free downloads and iFanboys there. You can watch it. It's probably a little better than your tiny little computer screen.
Unless you have a giant, giant monitor. iFanboy t-shirts are available at the Revision 3 store, which is revision3.com/store. Conveniently, shirts are now just $15.99. It's the blue shirt. It says iFanboy on the front. It says intern on the back. Be part of the iFan base and the intern armada. That's horrible.
And as we said before, you can email us at contact@iFanboy.com. You can leave a voicemail at 888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697. Any comments, questions, concerns, technical issues, discussion topics, hate mail, love mail, sexy mail, anything you want, contact creepy, iFanboy at 888-FANBOYS. Creepy, sexy mail, also accepted.
If you want to get to know us more on the internet, make sure you check out ifanboy.com/about, where you'll find links to the social networks that we are involved with, the Facebooks, the Twitters, the MySpaces, all that stuff. You can go on there and befriend us there.
And if you like the show or don't like the show even, you can go to write a review on iTunes. That helps people find the show when they're searching for comic book podcasts on iTunes, which is where most people look for their podcasts. So if you can help us out and take a few minutes, go over to iTunes and drop us a review. It would be nice for 2009 if we had a whole new influx of reviews. Thank you.
And we instituted our membership program at iFanboy. If you want to help us keep the lights on, literally, you can become an iFanboy member for in various different ways. $40 $4 a month, which $40 a month would really be ridiculous. If you want to, I'm fine with that. And we will come to your house and rub your feet. $4 a month or $42 a year will get you the iFanboy prize pack, which would be some button stickers, a random comic book, or $10 a month. That's the leadership level. Well, that's what they say on NPR. Or $100 a year will get you a prize pack and a special edition iFanboy members T-shirt, which will be unveiled relatively soon.
Soon, it's standing coming soon.
Standing offer. Go ahead. If you drop one comic to donate to iFanboy, I will call you up and read it to you.
Wow.
Wow.
Certain restrictions apply.
What are those restrictions?
It has to be cable.
I don't want to do that to Jay McKelvey or Dwayne Smith.
No, I'll get on Ustream. It'll be like Story Hour back in preschool. It'll be awesome. I'll stop and show you the pictures. I got nothing to do.
Just a baby and a job.
That's
fine. Maybe.
Right. Yeah, so far so good.
Jeez, Connor, way to bring it to reality. Listen,
what have you that... have you looked outside? It's horrible out there.
I know. I'm out there in the trenches, buddy. Don't have to tell me.
All right. So that's
the show. That note,
I'm gonna go kill myself. Everything's fine, Mom. Don't worry.
Jim, thanks for sitting in for Ron, who's probably just getting out of bail.
I'm sorry I made the show long.
It's okay.
Oh, I think it's a combination of you and me. I don't know if you and I are allowed on the same show anymore.
I love my voice so much.
I know how that feels.
Yeah.
I also love my other voices.
Right.
And we all do as well.
What a fun, sexy time you'll have.
I'm Connor.
I go last.
Oh, okay, I didn't read the manual. I'm sorry. I'm Ron's replacement, Jim.
Yeah. See, you kind of ruined it for me. So now I can say I'm Josh. God. But
those people didn't even know us. We didn't know if we would live or die. We didn't know if it was wrong or right. We didn't know.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.